Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta mornings.
Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Bickley Blast.
The Suns are the worst kind of failure. They are half effort and zero heart. They are jaded and aloof. Their great players refuse to be leaders, instead preferring to roll their eyes at their overwhelmed head coach. In a league that rewards cohesion and connectivity and sincerity, the Suns have built a wafer-thin culture of players who either shirk or deflect accountability. So yes, you must blame Frank Vogel, and you must fire Frank Vogel. There really is no other path forward, but the big three all have blood on their hands. Devin Booker acts like he's above this collapse when he should have been the one demanding more from everybody, informing everyone else that he is the culture, that this is his team, this is his city, and this garbage will not be tolerated. Now, Kevin Durant, reportedly unhappy with how the Suns used him, and guess what? Suns aren't exactly tickled with him either. KD is lucky there is not a plus-minus rating for overall effect on team culture. And Bradley Beal, arguing with the coach in Game 2, slapping his hand away in Game 4, and saving his very worst for last, I guess $50 million a year doesn't get you what it used to get you. What a disaster. What a disgrace. It wasn't that long ago that Suns in 4 was our rallying cry in the Valley, but after Sunday night, it was sunset in 4, as in 1, 2, 3, Cabo! So, championship or bust, at the very least, the Suns can say they checked one of those boxes. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
You know, I mean, you spoke to a little bit of it. I think we gelled and played some really good basketball down the stretch. You know, getting the playoff spot in this, you know, bloodbath of a Western Conference was a positive, you know, in light of the injuries and, you know, roster experimentation early in the season when we're looking at, you know, which minimum guys fit for our group. But, you know, ultimately, you know, we played some really good basketball down the stretch. We just ran into a team that's playing better than us right now.
That's Frank Vogel on why the team wasn't able to click this season. Man, remember having the discussions during the season about what would define a successful year for the Phoenix Suns? And I never really got off the anything less than a championship. You could have swayed me. Hey, Western Conference Finals appearance, after everything this team went through, would have been a nice consolation. Would have been something to get behind. We never considered the possibility of a first round exit without winning a game.
No. So the big three didn't even get you a single playoff victory for all of the mortgaging of the future, for the fact that they've got a 22nd overall first round pick this year, and then they don't have another first rounder till like 2030, and then they don't have a second rounder from like 2025 to 2030, and they're already into the second apron. So where do they go from here? It is going to take some magic to kind of reshape this into something that even comes close to meeting what we thought it was going to meet. And as we talked about earlier, it didn't take long for The Athletic to post a story with a lot of details. And I'll bet you this is just getting started, Vinny. And The Athletic story basically says that after that home loss to the Clippers, the 35-4 game, that Frank Vogel was heard screaming at the basketball team. And the effect of it was, inside, the reports are that it was viewed as clownish, as a desperate move from a coach who had never tried to be that assertive or authoritative in the past, and now suddenly is trying to be something he's not.
Like late career Cliff Kingsbury.
Exactly.
When he all of a sudden tried to change his coaching style and nobody bought it.
And no one's going to buy that either. So, and again, for the room to be that jaded, and the reports are that somebody had to hold back laughing at Frank Vogel. We have heard stories of a mid-season dressing down from a player who wasn't even active, getting into this team for showing so little passion. Mm-hmm. We've seen any number of games where Kevin Durant's been disengaged from the huddle. Game 3 on Friday night, Frank Vogel was in the midst of talking to the team. They were all sitting on the bench. Book got up and just walked right out of the huddle. And then the stuff with Bradley Beal last night, that looked really weird. Maybe he didn't mean to be that dismissive of a head coach who's putting out his hand to, you know, dap him up a little bit, but it sure looked bad.
Yeah, and I'll go back to that. And I think that bleeds into what Bradley Beal was feeling last night, and he was in his feelings last night from the beginning.
Well said.
From the beginning of the game, things were not going his way. He was frustrated, and you didn't have to wonder about whether or not he was frustrated because he was wearing
it. He let you know.
He was absolutely wearing it the whole game. There was a point where he got a foul and was going to the bench, and I thought the Suns were going to get a delay of game because he was just taking so he was just moping off the court.
Yeah.
And it took him forever to get to the bench. And you're like, okay, you're not a second-year dude in your first playoff game.
Right.
You've been around the block.
Right.
You were the guy that was rallying this group at the end of the year. That was the guy who rekindled the flame of the fan base.
Indeed.
In the last two games of the year. Not by only playing the way that he played, by saying what he said. It's time. I'm hyped as hell. It's playoff time. Let's go. We want to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And that's what you put out there in an elimination
game? I've never been swept before. Damn sure not going to happen now. Find a way when your shot's not falling and you've missed a second dunk in the span of three games, find some other way to contribute.
But not
with that body language.
Yeah, but then he just let it fester.
I mean, that fourth quarter,
and I'm not pinning the loss on Bradley Beal by any stretch.
No.
But that fourth quarter was nightmarish.
It was terrible.
I looked at the stat line afterwards. And I saw six turnovers, six fouls. I halfway expected to see 6 points because he had the game from hell, honestly.
That's funny. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, this is going to be a long off season for this basketball team, and it started very, very early.
Yeah. It's too long to play right now. I was going to play Frank Vogel's overall assessment of the series. I can assess it in a couple of seconds. The Minnesota Timberwolves are one connected. That's what a connected, dialed-in basketball team looks like, which on the heels of those three losses to the Suns in the regular season, nobody
Who
expected.
Knew?
I said earlier, going into the playoffs, Minnesota just had some goofiness about it that I didn't think would be able to be overcome. And I don't know if this, what we just saw over these four games, I don't know if it was a product of Minnesota being that good, the Suns being that little of a roadblock to a series win, or if it's somewhere in the middle. But if that team duplicates that performance in upcoming series, they could go to the Western, they could go to the finals. Jamal Murray's not healthy.
Yeah, listen.
They can beat Denver.
Yeah, I'm not putting it past them, but I don't know how much of it is this Suns team just being exposed in a series format versus the vagrancies of one game. Yeah, whatever happened to Bradley Beal as Anthony Edwards' kryptonite? I'll tell you this: I'll bet you there'll be a lot of people cheering for Minnesota to beat Denver.
I'm sure there will be. I don't know if I'm one of them. Last chance to win a Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm so petty. A Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey and an autographed Kyler Murray jersey. Just text jersey to 620-620 for your chance to win. That's jersey to 620-620. We'll continue to dig deeper into the Suns. And this report last night from The Athletic says the Suns are going to revisit their coaching situation. And what does that all mean for Frank Vogel? We'll get into all those possibilities next. It's Pickley and Marotta Mornings on Arizona Sports. The local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. After getting swept out of the first round by Minnesota, what is next for the Phoenix Suns as they head into a long offseason? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
If they get swept, it will be the biggest disappointment in NBA history. You cannot have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, three potential, well, Kevin Durant is a Hall of Famer, Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, they're scratching the surface of being in the Hall
of
Fame.
Definitely.
If they get swept, it would be the biggest disappointment in NBA history. Way worse than the Brooklyn, when KD was on the Brooklyn Nets. Way worse than that.
Did he elaborate on that? Kendrick Perkins. Not allergic to hyperbole. was on the pregame show before the Suns got swept. Kendrick Perkins saying it would be the biggest disappointment in NBA history. Is it? It's not like they won 63 games and went out in the first round.
No, yeah, they were fighting for their lives. I mean,
that's
the whole season.
That's got to be part of the disappointment, though, don't you think?
I guess, depending on how you look at it.
I think when you date back to what you spent, what the expectations were, what was said, Matt Ishbia, this is the best team in the NBA, Frank Vogel, we're going to be scrappy as hell. I know how to do this. I've had these big names before. The team, the fact that the team on occasion showed the ability to care and to dominate. We don't have to get caught up in the semantics of it.
Is it worse than the KD? we're trying to find solace. Is it worse than the KD Brooklyn experience?
I mean, they at least had multiple years there.
Kevin Durant has been swept out of the playoffs in the first round in two of the last three seasons.
Yeah, multiple years, that's not but good. They all played, what was it, like 17 games together, the three of them?
17 total games.
Yeah. And as Brian Windhorst pointed out, this was a year of plus health for the big three. Relative to their...
Especially the second half of this
relative
season.
To their individual histories.
Yeah. I know that the common default will be, well, they didn't get to play much together. But they actually did. Because this is the most games Durant's played since 2019. It's the most games Booker's played in several seasons. It's the most games that Beal's played in three seasons. These are players who have injury histories. This was actually a healthy year for them. And so they're in a very, very difficult position. They came in with an excellent draw. They were 3-0 against the Timberwolves. There was no reason why they shouldn't have been more competitive in this series. They got beat by a stronger, deeper, more well-rounded team, and that's just the truth, and that is a big lesson for everybody to take away from this game, how good the Wolves were and how much of a problem the Suns have now and going forward.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with any of that, but go back to two weeks ago Monday on this show, the whole fan base was over the moon. Wow, the Suns are putting it together at the right time. That's the team they're going to play in the first round? Sign me up for that. And then they get Denver in the second round.
Yeah.
Don't have to play Oklahoma City. Oh, my goodness. They're gonna completely put a Band-Aid on a frustrating regular season.
We thought it was the reprieve of all reprieves. Bradley Beal getting into Anthony Edwards' chest that last game of the regular season. How frustrated Anthony Edwards was. How well it all looked to be shaping up for the Suns, and then you don't even get a victory out of it. Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I saw Gambo's tweet after the game last night, and I do think that a cooling off period is paramount here because emotions are running very, very, very high. For instance, Stephen A. Smith, 8 minutes ago, quote, Devin Booker might deny it. I haven't spoken to him. I'm just telling you the scuttlebutt in the NBA circles is that brother want to be in New York, end quote. Just getting started, folks. Just getting started.
Yeah, that's what we're bracing for this summer. That's going to be the prevalent talk. We played the soundbite from the Bill Simmons podcast.
Yeah.
Could Booker ask out? I mean, there's still... I'm not going to say there's no reason to speculate on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all noticed a bit of a different Devin Booker this year.
Definitely. Detached.
Last night, I thought the old Devin Booker showed up.
Yes, I think Devin Booker was determined that if this was going to be an elimination game, this was not going to be on him. And his aggression, he should have been playing that way every single game. But again, here's the thing about basketball teams, and you know this, Vinny, anybody who's played on basketball teams knows this. If to give your all like Devin Booker did last night and to do that on a nightly basis, you got to have everybody around you doing the same.
Yes.
'Cause if you don't, you're not going to want to do it. You're going to feel resentful. And then you're going to want the coach to get on the asses of the people who aren't doing it.
Yeah, but here's the fact of the matter. Devin Booker was brilliant last night.
He was.
That was a heroic performance. Other than Kevin Durant, if anybody else steps up and plays decently, they win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would that be... I walked into last night's game feeling like this was the Suns team, and the way the season has gone, they're just going to prolong the inevitable. They'll find a way to win game four. Then they'll go to Minneapolis, and you know the talk will be, wow, they're not dead yet. Here they go.
Is
0-151 about to become a broken streak? And then they'd get their heads kicked in Minnesota just to prolong the agony a little bit. But thankfully, mercifully, Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves took care of that for everybody in Phoenix.
Because you're right, this tease has gone on long enough. And that's been the most maddening thing about this team. Just when you thought you had a set of facts that could allow you as a Suns fan to walk away from this team, then they'd bring you back in with something.
Mm-hmm. We talked all season long, the Godfather 3. Every time we thought we were out, they pulled us back in. And then every time we thought we were in, they pushed us back out over and over again. And to me, the thing about Devin Booker, like, where was this effort all series? To me, this series, it felt like they got so thoroughly beaten and dominated in this series, like it didn't really matter. I don't see a scenario where the Suns could have won this series. Minnesota just seemed overall like the much better team.
Well, I think the Suns, with what they did from a roster standpoint, and I'm looking at the Bradley Beal acquisition. I mean, Durant was already in the fold. They get Bradley Beal, and the talk is, and this came from Devin Booker, among others, I don't know how anybody's going to guard us. Who are you going to double? Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves took pride in, not only are we going to shut you down, we're going to do it without doubling. If you can do that, I mean, Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
I think it was last year, Anthony Edwards was asked about, you know, playing the Suns. Oh, the Suns got Kevin Durant in the West. And he said, well, they got Kevin Durant, but we got Jaden McDaniels. And everybody went,
oh, come on. What are you talking about?
What is he talking about?
Yeah.
That dude.
Dude, he's legit.
He is a problem.
Yeah, he is a problem. Yep.
And he was a problem for this team the entire series. So those words, that those are one of the phrases. You've hit on a couple. We're going to be scrappy as hell. We got the best roster in the league. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how anybody's going to guard us. Those are the phrases that are going to be ringing throughout this offseason. Because I think the rest of the league took note of that, and it just seemed to me, and I don't know, maybe this is just my Phoenix sports fan inferiority complex or victim complex. It seemed to me like teams really took pride in beating the Suns this year.
Definitely had a target on their back.
Every team played harder than the Suns this year.
Yes.
And that's a problem with the guys in the purple and orange, certainly, but they really had a target on their back.
Indeed. You could see it, you could feel it, and I think we all kind of knew that going in. There was a lot of talk. There was a lot of bravado. Wow.
I knew this was done. When Kellen, before the series, picked Minnesota, that's a guy who does not get influenced by being a homer, does not let the emotion take over. He looks purely at basketball. Mm-hmm. And when he picked Minnesota, it was like, uh-oh. Because a lot of the national media and local media all thought, oh, this is a great matchup for the Suns. They can win this. And I was like, uh-oh.
Minnesota media felt that.
They
felt they were cursed.
It was a nightmare matchup for the T-Wolves. Turned out to be anything but.
Yeah.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we had scheduled this to have the legendary Al McCoy join us weekly during the Suns' playoff push. Well, it wasn't much of a push. It wasn't really much of a nudge. But Al's going to join us to wrap up the 8 days of glory next. Spickley and Marotta mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Suzanne!
Al, about the Suns. Hall of Famer Suns broadcaster Al McCoy calls in to talk Suns with Bickley and Marotta.
Suns win! The Suns win!
Al, about the Suns.
Oh, brother!
Driven by Sanderson Ford and their mighty fine 69 sale.
Yeah, the Suns swept out of the playoffs for the first time in a best-of-seven series since 1989. Here to reflect on the season and the playoffs with us, the legendary voice of the Phoenix Suns, Al McCoy, joins us here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Al, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys. Let me take a minute and go back, if I can, 6 months. All of a sudden, the Suns had a new owner, Matt Ishbia, who was young, who loved basketball, who was wealthy, and who wanted to win. And the excitement started to build. And you have Booker, you have Durant, and now you got Beal. And now you have three superstars. And expectations were unbelievable. And now the preseason starts. No one plays. They're all hurt. The season hasn't even started, and none of these three superstars are even playing in preseason. And now the season starts. The book goes out. Then a little later, we never see Beal. And I don't know. Finally, we get into the second half of the season. And this threesome finally gets together. Now, they'd had some big games. Booker had had some big games now and then along the way. Kevin Durant had had some, but there was never any consistency. And my friends, you don't win an NBA title with three players. And the bench was a mess. We never knew who was going to come off the bench and play. The coaching staff never could really decide who those special players were. One individual might come off the bench and play well. We might not see him for 2 weeks. Consistency. How many times did we hear that word used? The expectations were high. We had some good games. We surprised some people. But there was never any consistency. True. And it only started to get worse. And I don't think, although I'm not that close to the situation anymore, I don't think it was a very happy locker room all year.
Yeah, I think you're right in every single thing you said. And then you look at the construction of this team. To go in without a point guard where two of the big three were both shooting guards, I guess there's some blame due on the new owner just in terms of how you compose this roster.
Well, there's no question about it. You have to have someone to distribute the basketball. They played Booker out of position all year long, and it really hurt his game. Now, he had some big games where he just took over and scored, but the consistency was not there because he was playing out of position. He was forced to bring the ball up out of backcourt. And then how many times did we say, push the ball? Don't walk the ball up and allow the defense to get set. And particularly when you're playing a team like Minnesota that's good defensively, if you don't push the ball, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Now, the things we talked about all year that the Suns didn't do, they didn't rebound, they didn't defend the three, and the offensive rebounding was a tragedy. And if there was one thing that really hurt the Suns this year, it was giving up those second and third scoring opportunities for the opposition. You don't win doing that.
Al McCoy, the legendary voice of the Suns, our guest here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Another thing that people are revisiting, Al, from last year, we'll go back to Media Day, where Frank Vogel promised that this team would be the scrappiest team, or scrappy as hell, I believe, is how he put it.
Yes.
And another issue that popped up as a real area that was lacking for the Suns was coming up with 50-50 balls. To me, you know, that phrase became like a 20-80 ball. If there was a ball available to be had to start a possession, more often than not, the opposing team was getting it. And I'm just wondering if that comes down to personnel, if that just comes down to individual desire, coaching. How do you frame that?
Well, I think it's a combination, and we touched on it last week. The thing that surprised me about this team was their inconsistency. They would come out one game like they really wanted to play. The next game, it was like they were showing up at the YMCA having a shoot-around. It just was never consistent, and they never really had the fire in their belts to come out and get after the opposition. We've talked about the things that the Suns need to improve their team, and we've talked about it all year. And the other thing they don't have is a battler, some guy that's going to come in and knock the opposition down and step on them and maybe get thrown out of a few games, but they don't have that type of player. And you get into the playoffs, as we know how consistent and how strong and how tough this Minnesota team is, the Suns never had an individual that could match that at all. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people blaming Frank Vogel. Part of me feels bad for him because I don't think this team was very easy to coach. I'm not sure there wasn't a lot of tuning out going on. What effect could a change in leadership at head coach have on this group? Do you think that is the easiest fix, or do you think that's fool's gold?
Well, it's so difficult to say. How do you judge a coach on 1 year? It's very difficult, but somebody's got to crack the whip. We all know the strategy of a Cotton Fitzsimmons, John McLeod. We know how they coached and how they handled their players, how they got in their face. I mean, how many times did we see when Cotton Fitzsimmons was coaching the Suns and the starting five came out not ready to play, he took the whole unit out, yeah, Set them down, said, hey, when you guys get ready to play, let me know. you have to have some fire to get to your players. And we just never had that, I didn't think, all year long.
No.
And of course, you're dealing with certain personnel that maybe can't tolerate that type of coach either. It's hard to judge a coach on just 1 year, but there were a lot of inconsistencies up and down the line.
Al, I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, 2 weeks ago I was just telling Bickley, you know, we're previewing this series and saying, wow, what a dream matchup for the Suns. They played so well against Minnesota. They swept them in the regular season. Things could not have worked out better after a disappointing regular season, yet Minnesota was far superior in this series. I'd love to get your thoughts on, do you see Minnesota as a real threat to maybe win this whole thing with the way they played? I was so impressed with how they played over these four games.
I think they certainly could get to the finals, and I think we have to realize that the playoffs are an entirely different game mm-hmm. than the regular season. And if you're not able to play with a lot of physical determination, you don't belong there, because it's just a different game. As we mentioned last week, you can't complain about the officiating, because that's the way the playoffs are. It's for the big boys. You get there and you battle and you hit and you knock down and you stomp and you drive to the basket. It's a different game, and the Suns did not have those capabilities with the players that they had. And as I said, you don't win a championship with three guys. You need five solid players. You need at least three consistent players off the bench to come in and compete. And the Suns never had that consistency at any time during the season. Plus the fact, you have to realize, these teams that now are in competition for the NBA crown have all been together 2-3 years. I mean, Boston, those guys have played together 3 or 4. You don't just come in overnight and turn into winning championships in the True. NBA. It takes consistency. That word keeps coming up, doesn't it?
It does, no doubt yeah. about it. All right, finally, Devin Booker, it seemed a little off all year long, and maybe it was exactly what you said. Maybe it was having to play point guard and maybe understanding that, while we don't have a lot here. Maybe it was because he missed you at courtside, Al. But do you think there's any, because the fear now is that Devin Booker might be looking at his career and going, okay, I am, 28, 29 now. I've got to push the button and get out of here elsewhere. We never thought this would be Devin Booker, yet the season has been very, very traumatic for everybody. Would that be a worry? How should they go about, you know, pacifying him, if you will?
Well, Devin Booker's the face of the franchise. He's a class player. He's a class individual. I can't see him going anywhere, but he needs some help. As I said, he played out of position all year long, and I got so sick and tired of hearing, we don't need a point guard. We don't need a point guard. You had three players that were not distributors. You had three players that needed to score the basketball,
yeah.
not distribute it. And it caught up with them big time.
Yep. Al, we were hoping to have a long playoff run yeah. so we could have you on every week. But even these last 2 weeks,
so great.
Such a pleasure to talk to you again, and glad you're doing well.
Well, it's been a frustrating year for the fans. And as I said, I have a lot of confidence in the Suns' new owner. I think he really wants to win. It's not going to be an easy task to turn this club around, but I know he's going to be trying, and it'll be an interesting summer. Great to talk with you guys.
Thank
again.
You, Al.
Be well, Al. And the legendary Al McCoy, voice of the Suns, our guest for the last 2 weeks.
8 days of glory, Vinny. You said it best.
Eight days of glory.
That's all we got. Not 8 weeks. 8 days.
Eight damn days.
Yeah.
We're going to open up the phone lines again to let you vent on the Suns season and this playoff series and this exit. What lies ahead for the Suns? 602-260-9870 is the phone number. Your phone calls next here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
The Phoenix Suns season is over. A sweep by the Timberwolves, and now we look back at maybe the most disappointing season ever and look ahead to all the limited options to fix it. It's today at 2 on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Yeah, continuity is important. All the great teams in the league thus far has been together for 2-3 years. Minnesota's, Denver's, Boston's, the Lakers, OKC's, like a lot of teams have been together for a few years, so I'm looking forward to building.
That's Kevin Durant talking about the importance of continuity after the Suns swept out of the playoffs last night, 6-point loss to the Timberwolves, who move on. The Suns, the first to leave the party this year. 16 teams in, they're the first ones out. We go back out to the phone line, 602-260-9870. Let's get right to it. Let's go to Buckeye, talk to Justin, who's up first in this segment here on Arizona Sports. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. Vinny, actually this morning I felt exactly the same way, like relief. I don't have to, like, have any anxiety about any Suns game for the rest of the year. And something just keeps popping into my head all year long. It kind of feels like the way Booker felt last year when he tweeted out 36 unbothered. It just felt like Book and Durant just couldn't be bothered with winning this year. Anyways, appreciate you guys.
Gotcha, man.
Just frustrated and relieved.
Yeah.
Frustrated.
It's an interesting emotion, and when Vinny used that word this morning, it kind of stopped me too, but I completely get it. This is if you're a diehard and you were told this is the team that's going to win a championship in no uncertain teams, in no uncertain terms, and to deal with what we've dealt with this year, and not just the inconsistency, the lack of passion, the lack of leadership, the lack of a point guard, all that stuff.
Lack of fun.
That really is one of the things that I keep hearing over and over and over again, how this big three for the most part just seemed to be, like it was a hassle to play basketball. Yep. Like it was the last thing they wanted to do.
It was not fun. And to Justin's point, and then we'll move on. Jarrett has said in recent weeks that his experience of watching the playoffs is, you know, you're really into it when your team is into it. But once your team is out, you're less inclined to watch the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This is the first year I feel absolutely opposite. I was watching games over the weekend, and I was like, my goodness. Like the Clippers game yesterday against the Mavericks. Yes, the Mavericks fell behind by 31 points, but they fought all the way back. And you're like, these guys are playing out of their minds, and they're playing so hard. The Knicks,
look at the
series.
Knicks.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at the Knicks, at how hard they're playing.
That Knicks team reminds me of the Suns team from a few years ago, where they're totally connected and fun and energetic.
And the fan base loves that team.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's keep it going on the phones. Tom in Phoenix is up next here on Arizona Sports. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, guys. I'm on my way to the clinic to take care of my hopium addiction. I actually had this ridiculous idea that they could, you know, make history and win that game last night and come back and be the first team ever to win it. But, you know, besides, you know, firing Vogel, I mean, what's interesting is our team went to the finals, 3 years ago? The only guy that's left is Booker. Well, maybe Booker is the problem, but meaning like maybe he is just difficult to be a teammate of. I don't know. It seems like also Durant is just kind of that way. I mean, he got Nash fired as a coach over at New Jersey, Brooklyn. I mean, it's just so frustrating when you think, hey, man, the Suns are great, these guys, and maybe the whole trade was just a major, you know, mistake. Maybe we should have just ran it back with all the other guys that we had, and now we're stuck with Beal. I mean, what the heck, Beal? I mean, how does a guy score, like, you know, like 40 points and then he, you know, can only score 9? How does Booker score 48 points but then, like, he can only score 18? The master is right. These guys are just so inconsistent, and you know, maybe a new coach will help, but they have to fire the coach. They can't run it back like with this. It's just been a complete and utter failure.
Yeah, Tom, appreciate the call. You know, if I'm assigning the blame on what went wrong this year, everybody gets a piece of it. But I'm not to the point where I'm giving a huge piece to Devin Booker. He's certainly culpable. This was his team. Did he take enough of a leadership stake in this team? I mean, if you're going to criticize Devin Booker for something, maybe it's that. I'm looking in other directions first. And maybe that's just the Booker homer in me. And maybe people are going to call me that for saying that. He's not without criticism. He's not exempt from it, I'll say.
I think we can agree, though, that his status as in the NBA hierarchy has slipped this past season. The net effect of it is he has slipped.
Can't disagree with that at all. Let's go to... Oh, baby! Kieran, who's up next to Arizona Sports.
Are you talking to me? Frank Vogel! Yeah, Frank Vogel! Get out! I'm buttermilk! Buttermilk! Right? Right? real quick, on that, you guys just said exactly one of the things I was going to start off with. The blame is everywhere. Everywhere, right? I mean, it's on everybody.
Yep.
And Devin, dude, he is my favorite. I told you guys last time I called, my favorite athlete. Is he distracted? Maybe the shoes. I think they're done. I hate to be right in this situation. I hate to be right. And look what happened. It's not a surprise. It's disappointment all around. And everyone had so much high hope. I could not remember the last time that I was this most excited before a season for the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. And I just utter disappointment, typical Arizona sports fashion as a fan. Like, we just get picked up on a pedestal. We look at it, and then we just get it swiped under our legs, and we crack our head, and we keep going thinking, I love it. Let's do it again. Understand it, but I can't get away from it. I guess I'm insane. I'm expecting difference, and I'm not seeing it. But hey, we're stuck. Stop dwelling on what if. Well, we should have kept him. Well, we should have kept the Twins. But hey, guys, it's over. It's done. There's no going back. I'm not going to play the what if. Now let's focus on going forward. If we're stuck with these guys, build a supporting cast. Make sure the chemistry's there. Let's do it again, but with a different coach and defense in mind. Love you guys. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Kieran. Appreciate the phone call. Let's close it out with Hayden and Chandler, who's up next here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Hey, Hayden.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, this entire season and this series was an absolute dumpster fire poop fest. It was just god awful. I don't think Booker's definitely should not get a lot of the blame. It's definitely all around. But if you're Frank Vogel, I don't know how you could go to bed last night and think, oh god, I might be looking for a new job, because he looks like he just is lost in the sauce, just has no idea what he's doing. The entire team just looked disconnected. There was no heart, no passion, no aggression. It really did make me wonder. I wonder what Monty Williams would have done with this group.
Ooh.
Like, I know how he was and with DA and all that entire thing, but Monty Williams, he was the absolute glue, and him and Booker both, when they had Mikal and they had Cam, they were connected. It was like Torrey Lovello and the D-backs. I mean, it felt like nothing could take them down. Yes, it was disappointing when they lost, but it really did. It put that in the back of my mind. Like, I wonder what Monty Williams really could have done with this big three.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have wondered about that, too. People, mm-hmm. like Kiernan said, are hitting rewind and saying, why did we do that? Why did we do that? The toothpaste is out of the tube, kids. You can't put it back in.
You can't get it back in. You ever tried that?
From now until the end of time.
Yeah, it ain't going to work.
It's not going back in.
It ain't
going
to work.
So how do you fix it moving forward? Good phone calls. Appreciate it. I want to remind you, last chance to win a Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey and an autographed Kyler Murray jersey. Just text jersey to 620-620.